First in the morning, SAFM Sunrise with Stephen Grootes.
Okay, well, we'll continue to take your calls. We'll take your voice notes as well. There are important conversations around the jabs and what is happening, of course, with the booster jabs from the health department. I mean, there's a big conversation around that. We're also going to be talking a little later to Mualetsi Mbeki. I'm looking forward to that conversation, actually, as we try and wrap the year and try and find out a little bit more and just get sort of insights on why so many things are happening all at once. Well, the health department authorizing booster jabs for people who are already vaccinated against COVID-19. So some people will be getting a third injection of the Pfizer vaccine. But in other places, particularly on our continent, many millions of people have not yet had even one injection. Fatima Hassan is the founder of the Health Justice Initiative. She joins us. Fatima, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. Great to be on.
It seems that many people are going to be getting more injections now in South Africa. I mean, is that the right thing to do?
Look, it's an ethical dilemma, right? Because we've been warning about vaccine apartheid and vaccine nationalism in the global north. And our own president has been warning about vaccine inequity on our continent, particularly because there's only about 7% of people vaccinated in the whole of Africa due to a lack of supplies. So, you know, prioritizing booster shots for South Africans, not all of them have comorbidities or who are immunocompromised, because, you know, the experts are suggesting that is the group that should be prioritized first, while the rest of Africa is waiting for supplies, is really an ethical problem. And it also, you know, could contribute to vaccine injustice, because if vaccine manufacturers are then diverting supplies for our third shot or for other countries' third or fourth shots, it means that in the absence of the sharing of the technology and ramping up manufacturing, those who are waiting for the first and second shots are just going to wait even longer now, and that is a concern. And that has been also articulated by the WHO this week, that booster shots and the introductions of boosters in multiple programs around the world could delay the introduction of first and second shots in places where they need it the most.
In a way, this is how vaccine nationalism works. So we, I think correctly, accused developed countries, richer countries, of holding and hoarding, and our president has consistently said this, hoarding vaccines. Unfortunately, the same accusation can now be made against us. And I think this gets to a bigger problem, which is this is what happens in a democracy. There is pressure on leaders to get vaccine doses, and they obviously respond to that pressure.
Yeah, and, you know, in a global context, the pressure has to be balanced with risk. And so what is the epidemiological risk to the world? Who are the groups that need to be vaccinated first? Who needs to get primary immunity, et cetera? So, you know, the issue is, I hope, something that's going to be elevated to the African Union level. At least our government, the one thing to its credit, did not hoard vaccines or let them expire in large amounts like in other countries. And so the decision to pause supplies due to uptake and due to, you know, awaiting the decision of whether we're going to roll out boosters or not, which I think was a positive one, because other countries have not done that. They've binned vaccines, they've disposed of vaccines, instead of actually telling suppliers, don't supply us right now, wait until we're ready. But the issue right now in December 2021 is that the booster program of the world basically is going to even further delay the introduction of vaccines where it's needed the most. And, you know, we don't know now that we've said to Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, and remember, we don't know what's going to happen with, you know, the cohort of people who took the J&J vaccine. So we're primarily looking at 10 million people who've received the first and second dose of Pfizer. Approximately 10 million people in South Africa would now be potentially eligible for the third booster.
Or the third shot. So the idea was, and we kind of all knew, unfortunately, that people in the rich world were going to get vaccines before people in other countries in the global south. We knew that. We did think, or I thought, that as production increased, and it increased very quickly, that this would the inequality, the inequity wouldn't last for too long. And in other words, within a year or so, everyone in the world would get a vaccine. And I saw a figure today, I think it's in the Financial Times, a piece that you were quoted in as well, Fatima. I think it's something like 54% of people in the world have had at least one shot. But look at where those people are, and you see the inequity. The problem with booster shots is the vaccines that are then being produced, the doses that are being produced, will never get to the global south. They will stay in the rich world for the booster shots.
Exactly, and I think that's the concern that the WHO has also expressed. Because remember, of the 8 billion doses that have been administered globally, the majority of that have actually gone to high-income countries. So, you know, only about 7% has actually gone to low-income countries. If you don't have a greater scale-up of manufacturing partners to do the production of the third shot, or now even potentially even the fourth shot, then you actually need to worsen the inequality in the next 18 months, because you're going to have to wait longer for shot one in a part of the world where you don't necessarily have the negotiating power with this manufacturer. So I think it goes back to what we discussed in the beginning of this year, Stephen, that the longer you hang on to the knowledge and you don't transfer the technology and you don't allow others to make vaccines, then the longer we're going to actually drag this pandemic out. And of course, I mean, we can talk about travel bans some other day. But this just all points to the bigger systemic issues of who holds the power in this pandemic and how are we actually going to address what's going to now be an even greater vaccine shortage and, you know, issues around vaccine scarcity. And remember that, you know, introducing booster shots or even first and second shots is not an easy thing. I mean, there's complexities to the programs, there's issues around communication, eligibility. There's still the outstanding question of what is going to happen in relation to about 5 million people who took one shot of the J&J vaccine. There's a lot of information that is still outstanding. And, you know, just my final point on this, Stephen, is that we can't also have CEOs making declarations that we will need shot number four, shot number five through press statements. You know, we have to go back to prioritizing data and prioritizing the scientists who have no conflicts of interest sharing that data so that the world can actually do a bit of a pivot, and I hate to use that word, but to really figure out how we're going to address this growing vaccine nationalism now.
Fatima Hassan, thank you, from the Health Justice Initiative. Do appreciate it. 6 minutes to 8.